Greetings and welcome to the Beacon Broadcast from Beacon Baptist Church on Kirkpatrick Road in Burlington, North Carolina. The Beacon Broadcast is supported in part by the gifts of faithful listeners. If you'd like to correspond with Pastor Barkman and the Beacon Broadcast, or if you wish to support this radio ministry, write to the Beacon Broadcast, Post Office Box 159, Alamance, North Carolina, 27201. The Beacon Broadcast, Post Office Box 159, Alamance, North Carolina, 27201. Now with today's message from God's Word, here is Pastor Greg Barkman.
Let me encourage you to write for our Sermon of the Month, number 2, entitled Hypocrites in the Church. It's our way of thanking you for communicating with us and letting us know that you hear the broadcast and which station you're hearing it on. And so if you'll give us your name, return address, the call letters of the station, we'll send you, without cost or obligation, at your preference, either a cassette tape or a CD of this Beacon Pulpit Bible Study entitled Hypocrites in the Church, which is our Sermon of the Month number 2. You can write to the Beacon Broadcast, Post Office Box 159, Alamance, North Carolina 27201, or you can email us at beacon@netpath.net. Well, for the last couple of broadcasts, we have been talking about some of the implications of Christ's statement in John 18:37. And all of this in the context of the trial of Jesus Christ before Pontius Pilate. And Jesus said, "Thou sayest that I am a king. To this end was I born, and for this cause came I into the world, that I should bear witness unto the truth. Every one that is of the truth heareth my voice." Now, yesterday in particular, we were talking about different styles and philosophies of ministry, church ministry, and the particular style that is advocated in our day that basically says we will structure our church ministry according to the information that we get by polling people who have dropped out of church or who are not in church. We ask them, "Why don't you go to church? Why don't you like church? What didn't you like about the church?" And therefore, we will construct our church in such a way that those things that prove to be a hindrance to these people in their former church environment, contact, relationship, whatever it may have been, will be removed. So that presumably they will come and they will hear the Word of God and they will be ministered to. So that's the philosophy, and from a visible standpoint, it seems to work pretty well. It's amazing how many people you can get to come to church if what? If you promise them that the sermon won't be too long. If you promise them that the music will not be stuffy. If you promise them that nobody has to dress up for church. If you promise them that there will be no obligations or commitments placed upon them, and so forth and so on. If you will just make church as friendly a place as it can possibly be, all benefits, no responsibilities, no barriers, nothing that would turn anybody off, then it is amazing how many people you can attract to a church like that. They will come. You can get them to the services. You may not get them there on a real regular basis because, of course, basically you're communicating to them the idea that church is all for their benefit, not for their responsibility. So why should they feel any obligation or responsibility? They'll just go and get whatever benefit they think they can get from it when they want it. And when they don't, who cares? So what? No responsibilities, no obligations, no requirements, no expectations. Just come as you are. Come dressed as you are. Come with whatever baggage and attitudes you have. Just come. Just come. Well, I recognize that there are some things about this that are probably not bad, not necessarily bad. I recognize, for example, that the custom of dressing up for church, suit and tie, Sunday finery, sundry dress, though there are important reasons for it, which I hope you understand, they have to do with our respect for God. If we would dress up, for example, to meet the President of the United States, if we would dress up to go to a wedding or to some kind of a formal occasion, if we would respect those institutions and offices and customs enough to dress up for that and wouldn't dress up to go meet with God, to worship Him, then what does that say about our relative value of the various components that I just named? Where does God fit into our value structure? So there are some very powerful reasons why we might encourage the custom of dressing up to go to church. But we also recognize that there are a couple of things about that can be bad. Number one, in the minds of some people, it's not dressing up to honor God, it's dressing up to impress others. Well, that's not good. Might be better not to dress up at all. Might be better to have an atmosphere where nobody dresses up than to create this climate where people are trying to show off their expensive clothing and outdo each other in regard to their fancy dress. That's one problem. Another problem is that it is intimidating to people who can't afford to dress up, who have no dress clothes, who aren't accustomed to dressing up. Frankly, I have come to realize that there's some people who don't even dress up for weddings, for example. Now, as strange as that may sound to some of you, believe me, as a pastor, I've conducted my share of weddings and attended my share of other weddings that I wasn't conducting, but just going as a guest because somebody who maybe was not a member of my church, but maybe the son or a daughter of a member, or who knows what. Anyway, some kind of relationship there that generated for me an invitation to go and a desire to go. And you'd be surprised at people who show up at weddings in our day and time dressed in a casual way. So the old norms and expectations are not always necessarily true. So the dress issue, I think I dealt with that on the broadcast a few months ago. That's not really the main issue here, but it's the attitude that is generated by all of this. The attitude that there are no requirements, no expectations related to church. Everything is just designed to please the customer, and there are no responsibilities. It becomes something like various grocery chains or other stores competing with one another. We have the best deal. We offer the most. And you pick accordingly, whichever one you think will give you the most bang for your buck, so to speak. That's the one you'll likely choose. And you feel no particular loyalty necessarily to one store over another, to one brand over another. You'll switch and choose and swap around. Now, the question is that a good way to conduct church? Is this the way people ought to think about church? And there are just a lot of questions here, and I'm not going to get all of them answered, I can see on the broadcast today for sure. But one of the questions is, what is church? You know, the very starting assumption in all of this is that the primary purpose for church is to evangelize, to reach people. But I have a different concept of the church. I have the concept that the church is for believers to gather and worship their God. Where two or three believers in the Lord Jesus Christ are gathered together in my name, there am I in the midst. Church doesn't have to be big, it doesn't have to be fancy, doesn't have a lot of programs. Excuse me for tripping over my tongue. But it does have to be believers. Church is for the worship of God's people. That's what the church service, the church meeting, whatever you want to call it, that's what it is for primarily. You say, well, isn't one of the primary purposes of the church to evangelize? Well, yes and no. Yes, that is one of the primary purposes of the church, but no, I don't believe that that's one of the primary purposes of the church service, of the church meeting. The primary purpose of the church service or church meeting, gathering, if you want to call it, is the worship of God, the people of God worshiping their God. Now, when you lose sight of that primary goal, then all kinds of strange things can happen, like I've just been describing. But when that's your primary goal, then you view things a great deal differently. Well, you say, don't you want unsaved people to come to church? Yes, you do, if they have any desire or inclination to be there. Yes, it's a good idea to invite them to come and hear the Word of God, but I don't think it's a good idea to change church to make it attractive for them to come, to overcome their barriers and hesitations about coming. They need to come and experience the church worshiping its God. They need to come among the people of God who are fervent and dedicated in their worship of the Lord Jesus Christ. They need to be coming as spectators peeking in the window, not as honored guests who are being catered to according to their every whim and fancy. And that's what I see in this style of ministry that I've just described. You're treating unchurched people, presumably unsaved people, as if they have an honored position in the church. And actually they don't. They're welcome to come. We hope they'll come. We'd love for them to come and hear the Word of God. But we're not supposed to change everything. If we change the elements of the church service, the church meeting, to make it attractive to unconverted people, then we've changed the whole atmosphere, we've changed the whole structure, we've changed the whole purpose of the church. The church meeting is for the people of God to worship God. And the most important question is not what will unchurched people like. The most important question is what does God like? And what God likes, and what people who've been turned off to church like are going to be two entirely different things. And furthermore, the things that God likes, the people of God will like. The true people of God, the born-again people of God will like. And they will delight in hearing the Word of God. They're not going to get too antsy about sermons that are too long. They delight to hear the Word of God. They're not going to get too uncomfortable because of hymns that seem stuffy. They love to sing hymns that are solid in their doctrinal content and give worthy worship and praise to God. They're not going to be too put off by long prayers. Their hearts enter into prayer. They love to have their hearts lifted up to the throne of God in prayer. The things that turn off the unconverted are things that are a delight to the people of God. And the church service is for God's people to worship God. So, we've got a problem here, a fundamental problem. And we need to sort these things out before we go out remaking the church. And we'll talk about it again a little bit more tomorrow, Lord willing. Until then, Greg Barkman, Bible teacher on the Beacon broadcast, saying good day. May God give you His eternal peace.